This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with me now, as we start off the program, as always, is our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder and director of New Beginnings. I'm sorry, he's the founder and director of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. His website can be found at rippleconnects.com. You can reach Joe McKenzie by telephone at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable, dealing with some gremlins in the system. However, we'll not let that deter us from the job that we have
That's
to do
right.
today.
That's right.
All right. So today we want to talk about having a clear differential to move to your next job plateau. And when you talk about clear differentials, Joe McKenzie, what are you actually saying?
I'm talking about the impact that you've had that may not be reflected in just your accomplishments or what your position title is or your resume, et cetera. You know, particularly now in the last 2 years, many professionals saw that because they were better listeners or better teammates or just more innovative and willing to bring in new ideas to solve problems, those don't end up on your resume so much or your accomplishments, but those are the little nuances of who you are as a person. That's your clear differential. You put myself up against one nonprofit leader to me being a nonprofit leader, there may not be much difference. But because of my motivation or better listening skills to my team or just even knowing how to market over the phone because I had that background, that was my differential. And I can clearly state that on how I did that. And everybody can tell a similar type of story, particularly in the last 2 years, Freddie, with the pandemic. But don't confine it to that. This might be 20 or 30 years of your differential. You might have a similar credentials as someone, but someone being a good teammate or innovative or open to new ideas or developing talent, that's your differential. And that's how people find new jobs, because they plant seeds in these productive conversations with others that know you about what your differential is. I'm not a title. I'm not my accomplishments. I'm Joe McKenzie, and this is my differential, my clear differential between many of the people that are seeking the same jobs as me.
How do you discover, and everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. How do you discover what your own differential is?
You may see it, or you may be told that someone may say, hey, that was a great idea. I really appreciate you going that extra step or how you approached it this way, or your results may speak for themselves. And it could be a combination of that. And more importantly, yes, we want to be humble, but we also need to realize what our differential is, because that is going to help that next organization, if we're choosing to make a move, realize those similar results. And that's why it's so important to understand your differential. Whatever source you use to frame it for yourself, use it. If it's for firsthand knowledge of someone that you worked with, or what your accomplishments, how they spoke for themselves, that is clearly your differential, and that is how you're going to make sure that you carve out good opportunities for yourself by having these productive conversations about your differential.
How do you know if what you think is a clear differential is just simply a run-of-the-mill skill or an accomplishment?
I think when you get that knowledge, first-hand knowledge or feedback from people, that's what you're listening for. That's what you are watching for. And it may be exceptional. It may be above what others have done. That's what you're looking for. So test market, knowing your differential, but using that first-hand feedback from people can help you. And then along with your accomplishments, knowing that was, these are some of the traits, the qualities that you had that helped you get this accomplishment. Over time, you're going to start to see that, and you're going to start to hear a pattern or a similar feedback from others. And that's what you take to the market. That's what you take to self-market yourself.
Interesting. Everyone, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And so do you pepper these differentials into your conversation, or do they show up on your resume? How do you bring those forward?
It's more difficult to try to put it on paper as much as to have conversations with your bunch of career advocates, your greater professional network, as well as in the interview setting. The conversations, I do believe, help add the nuances of a situation, how you led an organization through a pandemic or, some of the obstacles and what you did to motivate that team or that organization. I do think the conversations win the day. And networking is probably one of the widely used tools to find jobs today. But if you don't use that differential, then you're going to run with the rest of the pack who's not talking about their differential. And we want our advocates, we want our network to know what our clear differential is so they can be of help to us, and they do want to help us. So giving them those tools, Freddie, and that could be your clear differential, will help them in that regard.
Is that something that you clearly ask your bench of advocates? Do you ask them the question, what, in your opinion, makes me stand out? What do you see as making me different and the obvious choice for an opportunity?
Absolutely. That is a great way to go about it. And if they uncover an opportunity, they may provide you with, here's how I think you're going to stand out in this process. Here's why I think you're going to be successful in this position. Often others see us differently than they see ourselves. So mm-hmm. if we're able to incorporate that into our how we understand what our differential can do, even better. And that is something that we could use time and time again. We could use that in that interview setting. We could use that in that next opportunity in that industry. Here, I'm clearly comfortable using the phone to market this company. I'm clearly someone that wants to build a team so we can retain good employees. Yes, that feedback from others, utilize it.
Everyone, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. So if there are three ideas that you'd like for us to remember, we've got holidays coming up on us next week, what would be the three things that we should think about and maybe even take action on as we think about making sure that we stand out, that we have a clear differential and with our approach to our career aspirations?
Yes, the takeaways I'd give someone is make sure that you cite relevant examples of your clear differential so you have a in that conversation, so someone has a clear understanding of some tangible ways that your differential made a difference. I'd also add some context to where you want to go. No one said that you have to make a lateral move or stay in one industry and stay in one position. So make sure that you add some context for your new career path or new position that you're seeking in regards to that differential. And finally, just make sure that how you're uniquely positioned to attack some of the obstacles or problems that these companies have. Not everybody that you're going to have a conversation with knows some of the issues that these different industries have, but through your research, you know that your clear differential can make a difference. So those three things are what I would deem as actionable in the conversation that you're going to have.
Do you have an example of someone who you've talked with and they say, well, Joe, I don't know what it is particularly that stands out about me and my career, and you've been able to help them to discover that and land an opportunity?
Yes, and really it's an opportunity for you to have that additional conversation, ask better questions, ask different types of questions so you can uncover that. And that's how you bring value back to someone, because when we're so close to the situation, we don't always know how exception or differential was because of some of those forces or obstacles. That's how I help someone realize their own differential, is that, here's the industry, here's what you're up against, here's what you overcame, and that clearly helps them realize their differential.
Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. Do you have a final thought for our audience this weekend, Joe?
Know that productive conversations you have should include your clear differential, and listen for that feedback from others about your differential so you can utilize that and integrate that into how you uncover new opportunities for yourself.
That's why he turns candidates into contenders. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area. And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious.
The word courage comes from the Latin root word for heart. That's today's point of focus, having a courageous heart. You can be courageous when you boldly break through fear, refusing to be stymied by it for more than a moment. We all have all the right stuff to make whatever changes or decisions are necessary. You have the courage to climb any mountain, however insurmountable it may appear. Don't be dismayed by life setbacks or derailed by doubt. Simply rely on the tools that you have to steady your mind and fuel that courageous heart of yours. Right now, step out with daring and take clear action. Be a courageous conqueror, and victory is already yours. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our program this weekend, and joining us right now, a person who in the Walz administration is a strong advocate for vaccines, reported recently that the Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan had a bout with COVID, mentioning that it came from a family member, and just this week she was able to take her daughter to get a vaccine. What was that experience like on Monday when that injection went into your daughter's arm? Hello and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Freddie. It was a really moving experience. I have to tell you that, you know, my daughter, Siobhan, she did not cry, but I cried.
Oh, my.
And, You know, we signed her up as soon as it was available at her school, and she was in a gymnasium full of her friends from across the district, and she had no drama. She sat right down in that chair, mm-hmm. got that shot, and knew that she was protecting herself and her classmates, you know, and her grandparents. So I'm super proud of her, and just am really excited about this opportunity for our little ones.
Everyone, we're talking with Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, whose daughter Siobhan just got her injection of the COVID-19 vaccine. What was the first thing that she said to you following that vaccination?
She said, "I did it." I just gave her a big hug and kiss and told her how proud I was. And then she wanted to know if she could eat the sucker that they gave her as soon as she came into the gymnasium. I said yes under her mask. But then she just visited with her friends. It was a totally, in the pandemic, there's not a whole lot of normalcy, but it was a comfortable environment for her and her friends. She was fairly relaxed. And let me tell you, Freddie, this is a kid who 2 years ago kicked the nurse when she got a flu vaccine. So for her to be, this relaxed matters. But she also, I think our kids get it. They have taken COVID seriously. They know it. They have no drama wearing masks in school. And it's just how they've been taught to take care of each other. I think most of the drama happens with adults. And so this was really just an extension of, we always say, like, sometimes she'll complain about having to wear her, helmet if she goes biking or skateboarding. And I'm always like, what's my most important job, Siobhan? And she says, to keep me safe, I'll wear my helmet. And, that is what this is about. It's just keeping her safe. And it's what I feel like in a time when things are really challenging in so many aspects of our life, it's the one thing that I can do as her mom to try to give her a little bit of extra protection in a world that sometimes doesn't feel like it's so interested in protecting her.
Your daughter, Siobhan, this is an example of the state rollout in trying to protect the most vulnerable in the state of Minnesota.
That's right. And so as of today, we have vaccinated over 44,000 5 to 11-year-olds. That's 8% of kids. So it's it's a big deal. And it was really important to me, of course, as Lieutenant Governor, but also my perspective as a mom who gets to sit at this decision-making table, to say we needed multiple entry points for families to be able to access the vaccine. So there's over 1,100 providers across the state. So that can be pharmacies or your pediatrician's office, the local school, which increasingly we're seeing these clinics across the state, or community centers. I know that, in the future, North Point will be offering, an event in the community as well. And so this is just how we should be doing this work. The website, it's like one-stop shop. You log onto the website. It's mn.gov/vax4kids. Mm-hmm. And you can find a local appointment right near you. And that was just super important to make sure that it was as accessible and equitable as possible. And are working with community partners across the states to make sure that in Black, Indigenous, and communities of color, that families are able to access the vaccine.
You touched on it with North Point, and you just mentioned communities of color. Can you tell us what the state is doing to make sure that these underserved populations are getting the vaccine, getting great information, and making sure that they, as Dr. Nathan Chomolo talks about, that hesitancy or deliberation is going away with regard to the vaccine?
So Dr. Chomolo is one of the greatest champions for making sure that we have equitable access to vaccines. And so we've done over 1,000 community events since the Vax rollout. And these are with community organizations that are run by and for communities of color. We're continuing to do that as we're looking at the vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. These community connectors have been incredibly important, continuing to invest in local and community media so that people are hearing messages from trusted messengers in their communities. And here's the deal. I don't want to blame or shame folks into getting vaccinated. Mm-hmm. If you have questions, you can ask them. And listen, like, as a Native woman, I don't like always, you know, hearing something from the government, like, trust us, like, that's not always an easy thing to do. And so we want to give people as much information as possible, but also I am never, ever going to ask Minnesotans, especially parents, to have their child do something that I wouldn't do myself. So we're going to be, you know, continue to talk about this, but also make sure that you're asking questions. I've had some conversations with family members, and it's taken 4 or 5 times for folks to get vaccinated. And you know what? That's okay. We want people to get vaccinated as soon as possible. But we're not going to get there by shaming or blaming folks, especially in communities where the distrust in the, you know, medical field is warranted. So just keep asking and going to, you know, your family physician or, again, there's a lot of organizations in the community that are on the front lines helping us out with this. And, they're really great resources too.
And you're forging, the state of Minnesota is forging a strong relationship with the schools across the state.
That's right. So schools have been a tremendous partner for us. And one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure that having vaccine clinics at schools was an option for folks is that for a lot of our kids, like, that's where they feel most comfortable. And for some of them, going to the doctor's office might not be, as comforting. But if I can go and hang out in the gymnasium where I have gym class every day, maybe that makes it easier. And for families, where transportation may be an issue, this is a sort of a place where folks feel comfortable and it's accessible. And to this date, we have vaccinated over 4,000 kids through school vax events. And that's where my kiddo was vaccinated yesterday in St. Louis Park, and just hope to be able to continue to provide those for families because they seem to be really successful. And there's a pretty significant sense of community there, and you don't feel like you're doing it by yourself, and really trying to build on this message that we truly are all in this together.
We never want to assume anything. It was startling to read that you had contracted COVID yourself. Heartwarming to hear that your daughter got the vaccine earlier this week. How are you? How is your family? How are things going now?
Well, thank you for asking. My daughter on October 22nd, she wasn't feeling very well. She said, "Mommy, I have a headache and a sore throat." So we had a rapid test. We did that rapid test. She tested positive. And I used all of the mom calm vibes that I could muster to say, I was like, "It tested positive, but you're going to be okay. We're going to take good care of you." We talked to her doctor. She has asthma, and just made sure that, we were keeping her full of fluids. And it was about, 3 or 4 days of a bad cold. And she was able to rest. About a week later, I had symptoms. And then 2 days after that, my husband had symptoms. Really candidly, it hit my husband and I much harder than it hit my daughter. Mm-hmm. And we were able to access monoclonal antibody treatment because we have underlying health conditions. And so just want to also encourage your listeners, if they do find themselves that they've contracted COVID, this is an option for folks. And you can go to the Minnesota Department of Health website and see if you qualify. It can help relieve some of the symptoms and get folks back on track. We were vaccinated, and I cannot imagine what it would have felt like had we not been vaccinated. It's serious. It's no joke. And I kept reflecting on just how lucky we were that, we both have jobs where we can work from home. When Siobhan was, sick, we could take care of her. And that for a lot of our families, being out that long, or that sort of effect of more and more members of your family coming down with COVID, we would have missed a pay period and a half. And that is so real for folks. And so part of this, too, is just continuing to make sure that we are fighting for resources for families who are most impacted and our frontline workers, and, getting vaccines. And if you're eligible now, getting a booster is the way to go so that we can really turn the curve on this.
Absolutely. Well said. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan with us this weekend. Thanks so much for sharing your story and encouraging all of us to protect ourselves. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Freddie.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. As our program continues, joining us now is the Senior Equity Advisor to the Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Health, Dr. Nathan Chomolo. And we're talking about boosters and all things COVID this weekend. Can you talk about the need for boosters, especially those who are 65 plus, Dr. Chomolo?
Yeah, and thanks again for having me, Freddie. Boosters are kind of an important part of our ongoing protection against COVID-19. And Minnesota's doing a pretty good job getting boosters to our community. So currently we rank second behind Vermont for the rate of persons 18 and up with a booster dose, looking at CDC's data, given over 665,000 third doses and booster doses, and looking at, you know, those 65 and up, over 51.5% have had their booster shot so far. But, you know, that's halfway there, you know, and when we look at our completion of the first two series, we're in like the 90 percentile for 65 plus. So wanting to get that level for our elders is really important. And we know that this Delta variant in particular has been shown to, that the vaccine's effectiveness against Delta has shown to wane over time. And so for those who haven't gotten a booster in the recommended time frames, which is 6 months after your second dose for Pfizer or Moderna, or more than 2 months after your Johnson & Johnson, really do recommend finding a booster shot as we start entering, you know, the cold and cough season here in Minnesota.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo about boosters. And Minnesota has the, well, it's not an honor, but it's certainly a distinction of being one of the 16 states across the country experiencing a surge in COVID cases. Does that make it even more important to get the boosters right now, sir?
Yeah, that is a great, you know, piece of context to that decision that folks have ahead of in front of them. You know, currently we're seeing, you know, over the last previous week of data, like 142 individuals admitted to the hospital each day, 18 to ICUs each day. Our new case rate has been increasing every day over the last 3 weeks. Up to 67 daily cases per 100,000 residents, which is the highest in the nation. And in all regions, with the exception of the metro, are over 60 daily cases. Metro's right there. It's at 59.8. Mm-hmm. In some areas of the state, we're seeing almost 100 cases per 100,000. And the last time we were seeing rates this high was really in December of 2020, which I think we all remember being a time of lots of spread and stress on our healthcare system and in our communities. And we aren't doing some of the things that we were doing then as far as decreasing gatherings, restrictions on bars and restaurants, and universal masking. So really important for folks to understand the, you know, the situation here in Minnesota and take the precautions to protect themselves. Getting a booster is one of those, but, you know, continue to think about going out in, when you're going to crowded places, masking up, trying to avoid really crowded places if you can, and particularly if you're at increased risk for complications of COVID-19. And then, you know, please, you know, staying home if you yourself are feeling any of the symptoms of COVID-19.
The Senior Equity Advisor to the Department of Health Commissioner, Dr. Nathan Chomolo, with us this weekend. So given some of the well-advertised side effects of the booster shots, with the pain in the arm of feeling just crappy for a few days afterwards, and then the narrative has been, well, you can get the flu shot at the same time, and some people experience reactions like that. Is it okay to get both shots at the same time?
Yeah, and, you know, we do recommend folks get their flu protection sooner than later. You know, usually we're talking about getting your flu shot well before Thanksgiving, because it can take a couple weeks after you get your flu shot before your body has built up that protection for this season. And so certainly we're at a point in the year where if you haven't gotten your booster, if you haven't gotten your first series of COVID shots, and then if you haven't gotten your flu shot, we recommend you get both of those as soon as possible. And, you know, the side effects continue to be, you know, mild, whether they be experience after just one of the shots or combined. You know, you talk about fever, aches, fatigue. So, you know, certainly important to think ahead if you've had, you know, reactions like that to shots in the past. You know, certainly don't get it right, you know, the day before Thanksgiving. But certainly, you know, plan it out and strongly recommend getting both shots as soon as possible to get that protection, because we do expect to see a resurgence of flu this year, again, because we aren't distancing, people aren't universally masking. We do expect to see flu numbers peak there, and we are concerned about, you know, folks who get both COVID and the flu, and I'd be much more concerned about an individual who gets both of those viruses, you know, versus an individual who gets both of those shots.
Interesting. We just spoke earlier with Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and we were talking about the vaccine for the 5 to 11-year-olds. And there's some conversation about everyone being able to get a booster. A lot of states have not yet done that. What's your position on that? And what would you say to those who are 18 to 65 and parents who are wondering, okay, is it time for my 18-year-old or 20-year-old to get a booster? Should I just go and schedule it anyway? What would be your recommendation?
Well, you know, the current guidelines are that if you are an individual who's 18 or older and you work in an occupation where you're exposed to a high risk of exposure to COVID-19, and so that would be any of our frontline workers, certainly any of our medical professionals, or if you're an individual who's 18 and older and you have underlying condition that makes you at increased risk for a severe complication from COVID-19. And so, you know, those are things that are fairly common, like diabetes and obesity, hypertension. Then, you know, it is recommended that once you hit that 6 months after Pfizer or Moderna or 2 months after J&J, that you do go ahead and get a booster. There have been conversations about opening it up to all individuals 18 and older to get a booster, you know, again, 6 months out from Pfizer or Moderna or 2 months from Johnson & Johnson. But the CDC hasn't waited on that. You have seen some states like Colorado and areas like New York City that have gone ahead and offered that to their citizens. That's not yet something that Minnesota is doing, but, you know, are considering. And so I think, you know, for the time being, it would be, if you fall into those areas of high risk, you know, please, you know, do take that into consideration and get your booster when it's your time. And then for everyone else, kind of continue to watch the situation closely. You know, and again, vaccination is one of several ways we can help protect ourselves, protect our families and communities. You know, I really, you know, urging folks to continue to mask up when you're out and about, make sure you're staying home when you're feeling sick. Thinking about if you're getting together for the holidays, maybe it makes sense to have everyone test the day of with some of the over-counter tests so that you can just see and make sure that you're not unintentionally, you know, bringing anything to the holidays except for, you know, love and cheer.
You coined the phrase vaccine deliberation. And now, at the beginning of the year, right around February, it'll be 2 years that we've been dealing with this. What would you say to people to help them to get through the idea of pandemic fatigue? Do you have a final thought for us on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think thinking ahead to the holidays that we have coming up, and how much it's going to mean to so many of us to be reconnected with people that we didn't get a chance to connect with last year. And the last thing any of us wants to do is be back in that situation, be back in a place where we have a virus that we don't have a vaccine that works against it, that is, you know, taking members of our community, members of our family members, much younger, much earlier than they are intended to go. And I think, you know, while we continue to have large numbers of our communities that are unvaccinated, we continue to have a risk of other variants popping up and coming back and putting us, you know, back in that situation. And so really thinking about not only how you can protect yourself, but what it means to our community to have these shared moments and pieces that are so important to us in our health and well-being in so many other ways, what it means to have our kids back in school and back in activities, and really doing our part to, again, both protect ourselves, but also, you know, get us that community immunity and protect us for the long term.
Dr. Nathan Chokmalo, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks again, Freddie, so much for having me.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area. Hi, everybody. We so appreciate you being with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And there's a shot in the arm for United States healthcare. Although the coronavirus vaccine is the one on most everybody's mind these days, other diseases are now in use in the United States, that according to the Centers for Disease Control. This includes vaccines to prevent mumps, measles, the flu, pneumonia, and more. Among the available vaccines for children and adults, 17, in addition to the ones for the COVID-19, are on the CDC's recommended list for protection against particularly dangerous or deadly diseases such as polio, diphtheria, hepatitis, tetanus, and whooping cough. Determining which vaccine would benefit a particular person depends on such things as age. Older people, for example, are urged to get a shingles vaccine, and upcoming travel that might expose you to diseases no longer common in the United States, such as cholera and smallpox. And while we're talking about vaccines, the COVID-19 pandemic prompted a series of rolling shutdowns early last year that sharply curtailed scientific research of other diseases, temporarily halting many clinical trials, restricted access to laboratories, and closed medical research facilities, that according to a new report from the American Heart Association. Yet, at the same time, the authors say that extraordinary success was achieved by redirecting resources to rapidly developing therapies and vaccines to thwart the global healthcare crisis. And when it comes to testing for COVID, uncomfortable nasal swabs may eventually become a thing of the past. That's due to a new technology being developed at Ohio State University. Wexner Medical Center researchers have created a breath test that appears to be highly accurate at rapidly screening patients for COVID-19. The research team has applied to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use authorization of the breathalyzer technology. Results from the initial study in patients were published recently in the medical journal PLOS-1. While the gold standard for diagnosing COVID is PCR testing that takes sometimes days to process in a lab, the breath test was able to detect the virus in patients within seconds, that according to Matthew Exine, the lead researcher and director of critical care at the medical center. He said that in a news conference. Also, researchers were able to identify COVID in patients because the virus produces a distinct breath print, they say, due to its interaction with oxygen, nitric oxide, and ammonia in a person's body. Ohio State study followed 46 patients in the intensive care unit with acute respiratory failure that required mechanical ventilation. Half of the patients had an active COVID-19 infection, and the remaining half did not have COVID-19. The test took about 15 seconds to identify the virus and has so far been shown to be accurate 88% of the time, that according to the medical center. The first of its kind device to identify the virus was developed by Kalagia Irene Guma, researcher and professor in the Department of Material Science and Engineering and the Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at Ohio State. This novel breathalyzer technology uses nanosensors to identify and measure specific biomarkers in the breath. This is the first study to demonstrate the use of nanosensor breathalyzer systems to detect a viral infection from exhaled breath prints. How about that? You're listening to New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
You each receive a piece of stone that has come from the mines in Hebron, Israel, right in the area where the patriarchs and matriarchs are laid to rest. Now, that just sort of sets a background of the period we're talking about. Now, let's hear the story of Jacob's dream at Bethel and how he brings this unity idea to us. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of that place, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. They did not have fine pillows at that time, but they would just prop their head up with a stone. And he dreamed that there was a ladder. A ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching heaven. And the angels of God were descending and ascending, constantly coming down and going up. And the Lord stood by him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, where the sand, grains of sand, countless in number. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of earth shall be blessed in you and in your descendants. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised. Then Jacob woke, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was amazed and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose, and he took the stone that he had put his head on and set it up as a pillar, that is, as a sacred place, an altar, and he poured oil on the top of it. He called that place, which had been known as Luz, a word that means separation and departure, and he renamed that place Bethel, Bethel, which means house of God. he made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I may come home again to my father Isaac's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And the stone which I've set up as an altar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give in return. One-tenth, a tithe, and offering. Elizabeth Sand Turner, the great Bible interpreter in Unity, wrote in her volume, Let There Be Light, these words, humanity's significant error is a belief in separation between God and the human being. But we should not lose sight of the fact that there is always a contact between the spiritual and the human. The rungs of Jacob's ladder signify varying degrees of consciousness between the human plane of thought and the spiritual realm. Angels are humanity's pure thoughts, which ascend to spirit in prayer and then descend to humanity, laden with inspiration and power. In this account of Jacob's dream at Bethel is revealed in this dramatic way, a ladder reaching to heaven, with angels or God's messengers descending and ascending constantly. It gives us an image of the reciprocal action between God and humanity. God guides and protects, prospers and cares for humanity, and in turn, humanity gives of its bounty an offering to support spiritual activity here on earth. It has come down through the centuries as the sacred exchange or reciprocal action between spirit, our source, and the earth, the place where we live and act. It is the life principle of giving and receiving. Now, it would be another 18 centuries before the time of Jesus when he expanded that idea of God's presence in this place even further, as he spoke with the Samaritan woman at the well. And she said, I don't understand. You Jews believe that you must meet God in the temple in Jerusalem. My people, the Samaritans, believe that the divine presence is on Mount Gerizim. Jesus said, the time will come, or is already here, where God will not be worshipped on your mountain or in our city, Jerusalem. But God will be worshipped in spirit, which is everywhere. So Jesus made this huge shift in consciousness that would take centuries to develop, to realize it's one thing to recognize the divine presence in your sacred place or even within your Holy of Holies in the center of your being, as Don shared in the community prayer. But Jesus was expanding our awareness. Remember, the Spirit of God is omnipresent. It's everywhere. So wherever we are, God is. Whoever you are, God is. This unity. And I believe that's why, even though it's a fine lyric and sung by the masters known as the Beatles, But they were singing of a universal idea. And that has made that song so popular through the years. Imagine. Imagine. Imagine if you have a hard challenge in your life. If you're feeling alone and lonely. Imagine.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.